All right, good to see you this afternoon. Brother Larry and I were talking about lunch. We got lunch, maybe even got a little extra lunch. That's what we were talking about, so that always puts us in a nice food coma, all right? So maybe if you fall out, at least fall in. Don't fall out, right? Ask the man in the New Testament, fall out the window. Okay, never mind. All right, we won't go there. Colossians 4 this afternoon. I did mention to Pastor this afternoon, I had kind of forgot that I never had talked to him about it. But when I was in college in the summer, we did vacation Bible schools. And so we actually went to the church in Plainview that Pastor used to pastor. And so before he was there, we went there 1 week and we did a vacation Bible school. And Lord bless, saw multiple people saved that week. And I don't say this as a dramatic story. I just like to reemphasize the importance of VBS and the work that's accomplished. It turned out that after that week, a couple weeks later, pastors mentioned him before, but Brother Roland had called us, the guys that did the VBS, and had mentioned that one of the girls that got saved, it ended up that just a few weeks later in an accident had passed away. And he was just encouraging us in the fact that, hey, you know, she got saved. You know, and so, and it was just a few weeks before. And again, I don't say that to be just a super dramatic story, but I would like to remind us that God wants to do a great work this week. He wants to see souls saved, right? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the goal of our VBS is, as Pastor said, for sure, that the gospel is shared. And so, so I just want to remind you, hey, by about Tuesday night after you worked all day, then you come to Bible school for a couple nights, Wednesday morning, usually you're waking up pretty tired, and so don't be weary in well-doing, right? For in due season we shall reap if we labor. And so I just remind you, it's going to be a good week. We're excited and all those things. So and remember that God wants to do a great work for eternity through VBS. So Colossians 4, I'm sure I've talked long enough. I'm sure you're there. But Colossians 4, just two verses as we start this afternoon. We'll kind of reverse and go back to some of the passage before. But in verse number 7, as we think about this idea of fellow servant, we see the word here used in verse 7. The Bible says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister," here it is, "and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brethren, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here." Now, we're kind of jumping into it a little bit this afternoon, but we want to think about this idea of fellow servant. Here it is, that this man, I'm sure I butchered it because my hick always hangs out when I try to pronounce names that I'm not too familiar with. But this man here who was a fellow servant, and Paul reminds us that this man as a fellow servant, there's some attributes that we want to look at as well, and then we'll see how to get that attribute. All right, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. And God, I do pray that you'd help us over the next few moments as we look into your word. God, I pray that it would be a help, not because of some words that I say, but because, God, your word can do such a mighty work in our hearts and lives. We pray that you'd be able to do that work tonight. And I pray that you'd cleanse me of sin that would stand in the way of you working. And I pray that your word would do what only you, your word can do. So I thank you for it. Pray for VBS this week. We do pray that you'd help us as we do labor and work together there. And I just pray that you'd bless and that souls would be saved, that contacts would be made. And I just pray that you bless the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about this man who was a fellow servant, the part that really sticks out to me is in verse number 8, where the Bible says, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate." Here it is. "Comfort your hearts." Comfort your hearts. So this man, who's a fellow servant, Tychicus, Tychicus, however you want to say it, this man who is a fellow servant who is there, and what he brings is this. He brings comfort. Comfort. Well, I thought about that, and when you think of the definition of a fellow servant is this, one who has the same master. One who has the same master. And so as we think about this man and as he's a comfort, why? Because they have the same master. Why is he a comfort? Because he has the same master. And when we think about that, we do think about the fact that at times our hearts do need comforted. There are times, my dad would always go through the whole phrase, right? And it would be something like this. He said, I'm a husband, therefore it's my job to make my wife miserable. I'm a father, so it's my job to make my kids miserable. I'm a pastor, so it's my job to make the congregational miserable. But thank the Lord, He's the one who comforts the hearts, right? He'd say something like that. But when it comes down to it, it is a blessing and it is a help. And when we think of this idea as a fellow servant, somebody who has the same master, what is the byproduct of that is having someone there to comfort along the way. I've said this many times, and I've felt it to be true in my own life, that at times life can be so difficult that you can be in the middle of a crowded room full of people and still feel all alone. You could be wherever. I've been in crowds where there was hundreds, thousands of people, and you can still have that feeling of being all by yourself, all alone. But when we think about the service of the Lord and the fact that we do have a master, we have God as our master, and then together as we're all serving the Lord, and as He's our master and we're His servants, the joy in that is the fact that we're not alone. That there's others serving the Lord as well. I mentioned it, church camp and things of those natures. Why do we go to those things? Why do we go to men's conference? Why do we go to ladies' retreats? Why? Because it's good to be reminded, hey, there's some other people out there that are trying to serve the Lord, and we're not by ourselves. Satan wants to pull us apart and take us to where we think, man, I'm the only one. I'm the only one serving you. You remember Elijah said that? There were times that great prophets and great servants of the Lord at times felt all alone, and here's what God would remind him. I could say it this way, if you allow me. There's fellow servants out there. You're not by yourself. Hey, there's hundreds who haven't bowed down. There's hundreds that are out there still serving the Lord. And remember that they're fellow servants. They're serving the Master. And we have the same Master. So the blessing is that we can be a fellow servant. And the product of being a fellow servant is this. We comfort one another. We're a help. The joy of having a church family and being around fellow Christians is the fact that it brings comfort, brings help, it brings joy. And let me just pause and say this. It should bring comfort. It should bring joy. It should bring help. And so as I look at this passage and I see this man who was a fellow servant and he was a comfort to those, he was a comfort to the church here at Colossae, He was a comfort to him. And so my question is, how was he a comfort to him? How was he, right? And so I was studying through this, I look at it, and I was looking about the fact that he talks about that he's a beloved brother in verse number 7. He's a beloved brother, he's a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. But here's what happens is Paul actually already told us about what the attributes of a Christian is. About what a brother should be and what a sister should be and what a Christian should be, because he begins that in the chapter previously and he tells us what it is. So let's look over into Colossians 3 and verse number 10. Now, we could go back and we could probably go all the way to Colossians 1:1 and start there, but for sake of time, and as they always say, the ears can only take in what the seat can endure. Amen? So don't worry, we're not going to preach the whole book, but we are going to go back a little bit. And this is what he says in verse number 10. and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but listen, but Christ is all and in all. You know what that sounds like? That Christ is the master. He's our all. He's everything, right? And so what he's reminding them is this, that listen, there's some things that you used to be, and before you were saved, these are some of your attributes, and these were the things you used to do, but now you've put off the old man, and now you're to put on the new man, and he gives the list. And that's what the last part of chapter number 3 is he's describing to them that, listen, because Christ is your master, he is your all in all, this is what you should be, which in the succession of it all is, he says, Christ is your master, that's what you used to be, this is what you should be, and because of that, that will make you a fellow servant serving the master, which will then end up in your comfort to others. It just follows and it just flows. Hey, you used to be lost. You were the old man, but now you've put on Christ. You're saved. These are some attributes that should be in your life. These are some character traits that should be there. Why? Because he's our master. And if we'll be the servant, listen, if we'll be the servant that God wants me to be, then I can be a help to those around me. Because we have the same master. Because we're trying to serve the Lord. So, the message this afternoon is this. The attributes of a fellow servant are some of these things. Now, I'll be honest with you. The list is long. All right? So, a pastor was 7. I quit counting. All right? So we're going to kind of shotgun it effect. You know the scatter gun, right? Here's what I say in this. When we deal with something that's so large, here's the goal. We're not going to catch it all. But what we should do is, Lord, will you just show me a few things that will help me in areas that I need to focus on? Does that make sense? That's how it is. Sometimes you go to men's meetings or you go to youth conference or whatever, you go to some of those things and they say it's like drinking from a fire hydrant, right? You're like, I just can't even take it all in so much, right? And I'll be honest with you, in this passage of scripture here, there's a lot that we should be, but here should be our goal. Lord, when we go through this list in just a moment, will you help me to pick out a few things that you'd have me to work on to be a help, all right? And that should be our goal. If we're going to be a fellow servant, we're going to serve the Lord, here's some things that we should do. Verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Now, here's what an attribute of a fellow servant should be. Ready? Starting off with this, they should be merciful. Merciful. Pastor mentioned it today already. But man, we just can't stop. Thank God enough for his mercy. Because he's been merciful to us, we should be merciful to others. And as a servant of Christ, listen, as a servant of Christ, an attribute that should show up in my life is that I'm merciful. Say it this way, because I'm in the middle of it, that some of the most merciful people should be to parents are other parents. Should be. Right? I mean, you're in the thick of it. Right? You understand the battle. You understand the fact that, man, some days we're up all night long and all those types of things. And you're in the middle of it, and you know who should be the most merciful to other parents? Other parents. Can I tell you? Sometimes we're not. Sometimes the most unmerciful people are the people going through the same thing that you're going through. I say that in parenting. I'm in the middle of that. You know, as husbands, You know, sometimes we're really good at being extra hard on other husbands when the truth of the matter is, and hey, we should go up to a brother and say, it's tough sometimes. But be merciful. You understand? I don't mean to get super deep, but also at the same time, here it is, that if we're going to be a fellow servant, listen, you know what we need to be with each other? Merciful. Why? Well, because God is merciful to us. And sometimes the very people that you think, man, they should be the most merciful person because, hey, they've experienced the mercy of God, and sometimes it's the exact opposite. That sometimes we can, as Christians, man, we should be merciful. Why? Because we've experienced the mercy of God. And so we should be merciful with one another. So if we're going to be fellow servants, hey, we got to have a merciful spirit. Are we merciful with each other? Do we have these bowels of mercy? That the very seat of our emotions is that we're merciful with each other. Now, that doesn't mean we just excuse everything. It doesn't mean that we're okay with whatever you do, I'm good with it. No. But I can tell you this much. Sometimes what we need is to be sure that we have the bowels of mercy, that we're merciful one with another. And we just keep going. Kindness. Kindness. To be a fellow servant, we need to be kind one to another. Humbleness of mind. In our attitudes and our actions, we should be humble. I mentioned this today in our youth group. We're dealing with some things that we're going through in our lessons, and it's difficult things at times, but here's what I say, is that ultimately, we've got to make sure that while we have the right position, we also have the right disposition, which means this. Hey, I got to be right in how I think, but I also got to be right in my attitude about it. And many times what we're missing there is humbleness of mind. Hey, yes, because of God's word, He's given us the truth, and yet in the truth we should be humble one to another. Meekness, here it is. Softness of temper, the definition says. Ready? Forbearance under injuries and provocation. You know what meekness is? Listen, is that we continue after being hurt with the right spirit. That's a lot. Is that we're meek, that we have this meekness. As fellow servants, we should be meek one with another. What is that? That we continue after being hurt with the right spirit. Oh, you hurt me? Okay, all right. What is it? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Whatever it goes. You know, we can get that kind of attitude with fellow Christians. And meekness is that we still continue after being hurt. And that's one thing. But the real hard part is with the right spirit. And it's hard. It's hard. But here's the thing. Christ is the master. He'll help us. He'll help us to do these things. Number five is this, long-suffering. Suffering long. Right? That we are long-suffering one with another. Aren't you thankful for the patience of God? Let me just go ahead and tell you. If I was God, I don't know that long-suffering would be one of my attributes. All right? Oh, you're still not going to do what I say? Okay, squash you like a bug. But I'm thankful that God is long-suffering. You know what needs to show up amongst the fellow servants? That we're long-suffering one with another. Forbearing one another. Verse number 13, forbearing one another. Here's what it is. Holding each other up. Holding each other up. When I think about that, I think of somebody who's been injured, right? And somebody, you think of it in a game or wherever, and somebody's been injured and they blew out their knee or they rolled their ankle or whatever it is, right? And the picture in my mind is when you have those two people on either side. This is the funniest thing about the NFL. Because they have these massive guys, and all of the trainers are about 3'6". It's what it seems like, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? They have this guy who's a lineman, right? like 7'2"? I don't think so, but he's big. This huge guy, right? And here's what happens. The trainers come out there. Oh, man, he's hurt. He's injured, right? They come out there. Oh, sure enough, it blew out his knee. All right, let's help him to the sidelines. All right, where's the midgets, apparently? That's what it looks like, right? These two people that they're like, he's squatting down to try and, right? I know it's silly because my mind is dumb sometimes. But the idea of when someone is injured, we're going to be a fellow servant, is that when someone's injured, we come up beside them, we hold them up. And I sustain an injury. As fellow servants, what we do is we come up. There's a passage of Scripture that talks about ye which are spiritual. When someone's overtaken in a fault, here's what we do. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of me. Hey, remembering, so this is our brother. This is our sister. This is our fellow servant. And instead of just kicking somebody while they're down, hey, we want to forbear. We want to come alongside them and hold them up and help them through the trial. We also see this in, forbearing one another, verse number 13, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Can I just tell you that the reason why, when it comes to the Christian life, God puts in almost every passage of Scripture that it talks about living the Christian life, whether with unbelievers or believers, you know what he talks about? Forgiving one another. You know why? Because we're still imperfect people. Will all the perfect people still please stand? I sat down real quick on purpose. We got to be reminded nobody's perfect. All we need to be is forgiving one another. Why? Well, because Christ has forgiven us. And we should be forgiving. If we're going to be a fellow servant, we're going to be forgiving. We see that in verse number 13. Forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Do ye. I like to throw this in here when we talk about this. Even as Christ forgave you. You remember what he did with our sin? He cast them behind him. Never to remember them. As far as the east is from the west. You know why he did east from west? Because on our planet, you can go so far north that you what? Start going south. Not northern, south, east and west. Which means is that they never meet. You can go as far east, and you know what you're still going? East. Well, you can go as far west. You know where you're still going? West. You can go north so far on this globe that you can start going south. Which reminds us that if we forgive as Christ has forgiven us, not to be remembered. And as a married person, I got to remember that in particular when it comes to marriage. I like to bring up what she did 6 months ago when we're in the heat of a fight. Oh, I forgave you. I didn't forgive. We didn't forgive as Christ hath forgiven us. So it's good to be reminded of that. And I'm telling you, I know the list is long, but this is the passage of Scripture. These are attributes that should be in us as fellow servants, having the same master. Verse number 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now we're clothed in charity. What is charity? Charity is self-sacrificing concern. Self-sacrificing concern. Charity is more than just love. I love ice cream. I love it. Except mint chocolate chip. That's nasty. Right, Harper? That is not from above. That's a gift from below. No. All right. I love ice cream, right? But when it comes down to it, there's certain flavors I don't like and stuff. That's not how God wants us to love. Well, I like you, so I'll love you. Well, I like you, so I'll love you. I like you less, so I'll love you less. No, it's that we're clothed in charity. That we're self-sacrificing concern. Which this, right? So he says this, and above all those things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know what should be the glue that completes this church? Is that we love one another. That's what should hold us together. That we love one another. That we're clothed in charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. So here it is. As a fellow servant, and as a servant in general, I need to be letting the peace of God rule in my heart. You know how I'll be a help to others? By letting the peace of God rule in my heart. Then, you'll be a help with others. Now, I don't want to go too far with that, because that's our final conclusion, right? So, when you start hearing that, no, the end is nigh. But then he says in verse 15, and be thankful. No people should be more thankful than God's people. Thankful, that we're thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Listen, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You know what should be an attribute of every servant of the Lord? Is that we are governed by God's word. How do I handle this situation? Well, what does God's word say? How should I live? What does God's word say? How should I think about this issue? What does God's word say? That we're governed by it. That we're governed by God's word. Well, again, why? Well, because He's the master, right? Because He's the master. That His word is what governs us. And then also in admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Listen, we preached this a while back, but our singing time is not a transition just so we can hurry up and get to the preaching. No, we're going to do both. Listen, don't miss out on the singing time. It's our opportunity to praise the Lord for all that He's done. And that should be an attribute of servants of the Lord, is that we sing unto the Lord. Well, I ain't got a voice. I know. I'll throw it in there. Guess what? You don't have to. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And every once in a while, if a Christian doesn't just have a good spiritual song come out of our mouth, but we should take a look inward. Well, what am I feeling my heart, my mind with? Right? Why? Man, there are some days that I am sure that people around me think I'm crazy, which is like every day. I know that. But every once in a while, doesn't just how great thou art want to come out of your mouth? And Lord, when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. Doesn't it just come out every once in a while? And when you're in the car, you're just thinking, good God, You are so good to us. And a song just comes out of us. Why? Well, because we're just a servant of the Lord. He's our master. And it just comes out that we sing and we praise the Lord through song. And then verse number 17, and whatsoever you do in whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Listen, that whatever we do as a servant, we're bringing honor to the Lord. Listen, do it as unto the Lord. Tomorrow when you go to work, hey, you're working for the Lord. You're not working for that company. You hope their paychecks don't bounce, amen? But no, you're working for the Lord. Tomorrow night when we gather up for VBS, who are we working for? Well, Brother Jeremy said we've got to be here or else he'll be come knocking on our door. No, we're working for the Lord. We're working for the Lord. And whatever we do, do it in word or deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, I'm going to rush, not because I don't want to deal with these things, but because we are waxing a bit long. That is this. In verse 18, we begin to see that wives, submitting yourselves unto your own husband, as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And here's what we got to remember. As a servant of Christ, I need to memorize my verse. I need to work on my verse. Do wives need to submit? Yes. Do husbands need to love their wives? Yes. Do children need to obey their parents? Yes. Those are all true. And you know which verse should be my favorite? Mine. I really like that, wives, submit unto your own husband. Amen, Linda. Children, obey your parents. Michael, that's your verse, and I like that one. Oh, I should like my verse. Make it important to me. Why? Because I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm a servant of the Lord. All right? Now, it continues. Fathers, provoke not your children. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to read it. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Listen, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. What is he asking there? Hey, that a servant of Christ should be praying that the gospel abounds everywhere. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. What else? Is that I walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Listen to this. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So from verse 10 of Colossians 3, what this is what a servant of Christ should be. And what he says then is, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. So here's what does he do? Those things that he just preached. Is he perfect? No, not at all. But he is a fellow servant who are making these things a part of his life. Ready? And again, I mentioned this, that what the outcome of that is that he's a comfort to their hearts. When it comes to our relationship as fellow servants of Christ, our goal should be that we comfort one another, not that we discomfort each other. That we're a help. That we're a blessing. That we're a fellow servant. And how can we be a fellow servant? By taking our job seriously, of first of all being servant. We mentioned this, Pastor and I were talking before church this morning, and it's interesting that in our economy, things don't work how we think they should. They don't necessarily work that way. Why? Well, because we're not talking about our economy, and I don't mean money, I just mean how things work. We're talking about how it works in God's economy. See, in our mindset, the way that you get served is by being the boss. I'm the boss. You do what I say. So then I get served. You see what I'm saying? That I get served because I'm the boss. I'm in leadership. I'm the one in charge. But you know that in God's economy, you know who gets served? Those who serve. And I want others to be forgiving towards me. You know how you get that? By being forgiving to others. Any of these lists. I want people to be merciful to me. I want people to be kind to me. I want people to be humble. I want people to be meek to me. I want people to be long-suffering to me. I want people to forbear with me. I want them to hold me up when I'm going through a hard time. I want them to be forgiving to me. I want them to be clothed in charity. I want them to love me through all of my faults and all my flaws. And I want the peace of God. So you see, all these things, however it is, well, I want people to be that to me. Well, here it is. That we just be a servant that God wants us to be. Now listen, it will all work out for good. Because I can't make people be what I want them to be. Listen, I need to be what God wants me. And if I'll be a servant of Christ, then by default, I'll be a fellow servant. Listen, that's a comfort. That's a help. My dad would always make us say this after we help somebody. He'd make us. I hated it because it was so weird, right? It was kind of like, you know, when you're a little kid and your parent says, you know, go up to the police officer and say, thank you for all that you do for us. And you're like, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to her, but okay, thank you for doing what you did. I know that's not a thing anymore, but that was a thing when I was a kid, right? Your dad would be like, oh, go up to the police officer, thanks for all you do, right? And that was a great, headed towards a good story that I don't remember, that I just lost. And obviously, God didn't want me to say it, so I don't remember. So we do know this. That if we'll be the servant that God wants us to be, we'll work on our part. Listen, I can't control you. It's not my job. It's not your job to control me. It's my job to say, Lord, I'm going to be a servant to you. Then I look out and I see that there's other people who are serving the Lord. What will be to each other is a comfort and a help. I've been part of churches that at times we were not comforting each other. We were afflicting each other. And it goes back to us not being very good servants of Christ. So our goal should be that, Lord, I want to be a servant of you. And then I'll be a good fellow servant. Here's what we're doing. Rice family, we're a part of Central Baptist Church. Our job, as the Rice family, to be servants of Christ. Your job as your family, you as an individual, your job is to be a servant of Christ. What we'll be doing is we'll be helping each other be servants of Christ by working on being the servant that God would have us to be. And then we'll be comforting each other. We'll be helping. And our goal should be that we look at a list like this and we say, there's no way I could do all this.
greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
I can be a great servant.
Not because I'm awesome, but because he can do a great work through us. And we'll be a help to each other. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your many blessings to us. God, I pray that you'd help me to be the servant that I should be. God, I'm not even going to begin to try and go down the list of the attributes that should be in me because I'm a servant of you. But God, these things, according to your word, should be showing up in our lives because you are all in all. You are our master. God, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to be the servants that we should be. We're so thankful for your mercy and your grace towards us. God, that even when we fail, God, that even when we sin, God, you are there to forgive us and to help us to continue being the servant we need to be. So God, I pray that you'd help us. Help us as we serve. God, help us as we serve together to be a comfort one to another. God, I pray that you'd use us in Jesus' name. As we stand to our feet,